I said, somebody up in here needs to know that the Lord, his eyes are to and fro. He's a bridge of troubled waters. I heard on Good Friday. I said, I heard on Good Friday. Jesus, my elder brother, the son of prediction, they held him in Pilate's court. They led him from judgment hall to judgment hall. But he never said, I said, he never said, I'm only worthy. If you don't want me to praise the Lord, he said, hi.
That you were inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Good morning. Welcome to the Johnson Temple broadcast on KAYT. On behalf of our pastor, Superintendent Maurice Johnson, we would like to thank you for being one of our faithful listeners down through the years. We would like to invite you to join us on Sunday, April the 5th at 11:30 a.m. at our Resurrection Sunday service. In addition to hearing Easter speeches from our children, renditions from the Johnson Temple Choir, our guest speaker on that occasion is Apostle Dr. Francis Cuffey. Apostle Dr. Cuffey is an anointed gospel evangelist, author, and attorney from Fort Washington, Maryland. As a continuing announcement, we are serving Leesville and surrounding communities through our Feed the Hungry program that takes place on the second and fourth Wednesdays, 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. During this event, perishable and non-perishable food items, along with a hot meal, are offered to individuals in need. This service is provided to the public regardless of financial status, and volunteers are always welcome. In today's broadcast, you will hear a selection from the Johnson Temple Choir and a powerful message from Elder Jeffrey Johnson, one of the associate elders at Johnson Temple. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.
Oh, oh. you go with me to the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter in the 9th verse, we're going to read others than that, but right now I'm going to read this. It says, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. My subject today is Hosanna, Lord save us. Hosanna, Lord save us. Ushers, you may be seated in the house of the Lord. I am so honored on today that it is a privilege and an honor just to be in the house. Brother Natron and Lakinda, so good to see y'all as well. You know, when family is home, we just love to have the family. Amen. Due to the holidays and other things, people miss and they come and they go, but we want to say thank you for every one of you who come into the house of the Lord to praise the Lord with us. Amen. Amen. We don't take it by happenstance. It's know that God has us here on this corner for a reason. And today, if you don't know what the day is, I know it's Missions Day, and I apologize for not having on my blue suit. Thank God I did put on at least a blue shirt, but but I thank God. I was like, man, everybody dressed up in blue today, and I just missed the mark. But that's okay. Thank God for being here anyway. Amen? But I want to say thank the Lord for many of you that you allowed, that I have your prayers. I thank God for Missionary Robson, who has been praying for me, who asked for me to speak on today. And I thank God for the honor just to even have me in her mind and in the spirit. Amen? And so to the deacons also. But also, so to move on with this, we know today is Palm Sunday. Yeah. And so when it's Palm Sunday, this was the Sunday, this is Holy Week. This is the beginning of Holy Week. Amen? The beginning of Holy Week. Because on 7 days from this day, from the day of Holy Week, of Palm Sunday, was the resurrection. Yeah. And I thank God for my pastor, who probably going to preach Sunday, who can bring that story out more than anybody we know that can do that. Amen? Quite qualified. Amen. But Hosanna. So in this book, we're looking at this story, and I promise I won't be before you long. Let me go and get this started. And so in the book of Matthew, we see in this scripture that Matthew recorded the story of the Palm Sunday that we call Palm Sunday, where Jesus had told his disciples to go out and look for a donkey and a colt, right, tied to a post. And he told them to go out and get this donkey and this colt and bring them back. And he said, and if anybody ask you, why are you doing this, tell me, because the Lord had need of him. Amen. Thank you. The Lord needs, he has need of not only a donkey, but has need of us to glorify his name. We are in a day, in a time, and I read this today because Hosanna, and he got on that donkey, and they brought him back to him, and he got on the colt, and they set him up, and they fixed their clothes on him, and they set Jesus on the colt, and they rode him in, and as he was coming into the city, the people recognized who he was. And they wanted to glorify him, and as he... They saw him coming in. They did such a great thing, and I'm thankful for all the palms and all the leaves out here. They start cutting these things down and start throwing them in. Well, they say straw them, but we just know that they placed them out there in the road, right, on his path where he was going. Not only that, they put their clothes out there because it was a symbolism of a royalty, to understanding that Jesus was part of David's royalty, was the great grandson of David. So he was a king, and the king of the Jews, to come into the city. Ooh, y'all help me here. He's coming into the city, and he's riding on a donkey, but you know, many of them had this conception that they were excited because the king, the Messiah, the one that we have been waiting on so long, has now come into the city, and we recognize him for who he is. Many of us need to recognize him for who he is. And as he came in, riding, he rode in just enjoying the moment, because Jesus was already humble, because first of all, he didn't come in on a war horse. He came in on a donkey. Oh, what's the significance of that, Brother Joshua? Well, Brother Joshua, let me help you understand. The people had expectations of who the Messiah was. They had expectations of who the King of the Jews was going to be. And they wanted to see the way they perceived him to come in and do what they expected him to do. But Jesus, on the other hand, so they expected, what did they expect? Let's see what they expected. Oh, my God. Let me slow down, y'all. Let me slow down. Y'all pray for me. I have worked with this, and I said, Lord, you make sure you say it the way you want to say it. And I want to, because I believe it. Let me back up a little bit here. Now, let me back up just a little bit before we get to that expectation. We have to understand that this setting was already prophesied by Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and rider upon an ass, and upon a coat, the foal of an ass. Zechariah had already prophesied this thing to come. You have to understand that the book was written, and even though it was written, it was given by God, right? And so therefore, Zechariah had in his spirit, in his mind, to let it be known what was to come. He was letting them know that the Messiah was to come. And that moment had come into fruition. And here it is now, this is where we are. You got to understand that in the book, I my subject is Hosanna. Lord, save us. Hosanna means Lord, save us. So it's a Hebrew expression meaning save now. Please deliver us or save, I pray. While often used today as a shout of praise, it originated as a desperate plea for salvation and was shouted by crowds during Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem to recognize him as the Messiah bringing salvation. Salvation had to come through the Messiah, who happens to be Jesus, who also was the great-grandson of David, the king. Oh, my God. The symbolism of the palm and the donkey. The palm branches were carried by a crowd signifying victory and honor. You have to know that you have to believe that you have the victory before Jesus even moves already. They had the palms. They just represented. If we had to stand up and we had to wave these today, we say we have the victory. How many of you know you got the victory on today? You have to know that victory is in your mouth, it's in your word, and it's in your heart because it came through Jesus. Ooh, so calm down. Ooh. Oh, my God. Yeah. Psalms 118 and 25 also brought up this. It says, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. You have to understand that correlates into this because now the psalmist had already sang the song to asking Jesus to save them. And he asked them to bring in prosperity and to make sure all things was well, that there was peace among them and that they had what God wanted them to have. The Lord Jesus entered Jerusalem. The people were excited. The Messiah was coming in on a donkey, and he was riding in but riding on a donkey just emphasized his mission was not of being of war, but it was of peace and humility rather than a political or worldly conquest. The donkey was representing peace, and peace and humility. See, that's what we need to have. We need to have more peace and humility in our hearts. When we come to the church, no matter how we get in a as far as a title, it's not no more, you're no more better than anybody else, but you got to understand that you're human, just a servant and a vessel of God being used by him. Me speaking right now is not no more me, it's more God than it is me. I'm just a vessel. So we're asking for the Holy Spirit to give you what he wants to say and not me, because I have no glory to give you and I don't want God's glory. I just want to do what God's will is for my life. And so we all need to make sure that we check ourselves to make sure where we stand, to make sure we're not so far above with our nose twisted up in the air, because we're nothing but our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Oh, my God. The king was coming, y'all. The king was coming. The king was coming. And Jesus was getting ready to come in. And as he rolled in, the long-awaited Savior of the Jews had arrived. But the people had some expectations. They were demonstrating. They were demonstrating some things. They had an expectation of the people were looking for a great warrior and a ruler to take over. I tell this story many times that when I was a little kid, I used to ride in our neighborhood, and I had somewhat of a mouth. I don't know where I got it from, but anyway, I had a mouth on me, and it would always get me in trouble. And at times I would ride my big wheel, and before I know it, I would get myself in trouble, and I'm riding fast as I could. And I said, "Don't y'all mess with me, my sister know karate." Sister DM was probably getting ready to walk into some things she didn't even know she was getting ready to walk into. I had set up a whole lot of traps. and I would tell him, "She knows karate. Don't mess with me." Because my expectation was, if you mess with me, my sister will take care of you. She'll karate chop you, whatever you had to do. She was going to make sure it was taken care of. But on today, at this time, the people were expecting a warrior. They were looking for Jesus to come in on a horse, on this big horse, and come in with blazing, with a sword, and to be able to cut some things down and to move and to get everything in order and put people in place so that they could be lifted up and high above everybody else. But you got to understand, he didn't do that. Ooh. If Jesus didn't do it, why do we think we got to do it? Our attitudes can be so nasty. We think just because we Christians and we go into the restaurant and to the Walmart, in the public place, we our attitudes are just nasty. We think just because we walk around and got a Bible and no full scriptures, we can go out and talk to people any kind of way. But we got to understand that they are God's people too. Woo! So we have to be humble, one to rule with a mighty hand with power. Someone great in stature and resilience. That's what they saw. They said, he's got much power, and he's going to come and put us all in our place, and he's going to move, and we're going to be lifted up as a nation. That's not what God did. That's not how Jesus moved. Many times our expectation is off, just like theirs was. We get in debt and claim God is able. Expecting him to remove all debts just because he's God when we did it to ourselves. Ooh, we disobey and then want God to look over what we already sowed. When the Bible says you are wondering why you are reaping, because you already sowed it. But then you want God and you keep asking God, "Why am I going through this?" Because you already sowed. But you expect him to wipe that away. The Bible said that whatever the man sow, a man sow it, that shall he also reap. Ask anything from God, expecting it to come to pass, but never read the Bible to see if it lines up with his will. We ask God for $1 million and all this stuff here, and we don't know how to even invest a dollar on the stock market. You got to understand that it comes more. It's a responsibility with what God blesses you with. Didn't he say if you'll be a ruler over small things and make you rule over much? So if you can't handle the little that he's already given you, what do you expect him to give you more? Then we ask, why God, why he just won't just throw me $1 million? You got to understand, it's got to be in his will. Not your will, but his will. Expecting God to do everything while we do nothing. Faith without works is dead. You got to understand, our expectations are a little off as well as theirs were. So we can't knock them all the way totally, but we need to line ourselves up with the will of God, just as they did. And they were crying out, "Lord, Hosanna, save now. Please deliver us. Save, I will pray." With so much wickedness in the world, we all should be ready to go when the Lord comes back. 2 Timothy 3. I'm gonna move over here just for a minute. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1 through the 5th verse. My pastor has been speaking on this scripture, this verse, first verse, almost every time we get a chance to hear from him. He said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. How many know we're in perilous times? We see the wickedness of this world. And we see how the world has changed. And we're in a war that we didn't mean, that we didn't really want, but now we're in it. And we're feeling the effects of it through our economy, our groceries, our gas prices, everything that's going on. And our soldiers are being now being put on the front line. So let's keep them in our prayers. But they're being put on the front line trying to defend a war that they didn't have nothing to do with. And we have a mindset that of a leader sometimes that feels like they can just throw us out and put people in certain places without any consequences. And don't think about everybody else who's involved just because they got a few dollars in the bank. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Y'all tell me if y'all know somebody like this. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Think about that. You're supposed to be a Christian. If I ask everybody to raise their hand who said they're a Christian, almost everybody here, raise their hand. And you think about it. Brother Darrell, this one thing I see that is when we got real Christians and then you got Timu Christians.
All right.
You got a real Christian, but then you got a Timu Christian. Timu gives you some goods that they look good and they work for a little while and they kind of inexpensive. And they come out and they shine and they look like, boy, this is exactly what I needed. Sometimes they work for a little while, but then they got some malfunctions to them. And they don't always work the way that they said they were going to work, and that the way they showed in the commercial or whatever on the invitation. But that's how the Christian, the Timu Christian is too. It says we believe in God, but then when you ask you to pray, you don't even know how to say the prayer. You can't even quote the Lord's Prayer. My God, hold up now. Many of us are asking, we say we need some help, but before we can get you to pray, you already put on the line, all my business on the street, to everybody else. That's a Timu Christian. Timu Christian is fake. They're not real. They're phony. They're imitations. They're scary, afraid of everything, and unbelieving. We need to be crying out Hosanna to us today. I'm making a point here today. There's so much in this world that is so false and so wrong and everything that's going on, but we are still here. We are in the world, but not of the world. And so therefore, we have to be the Christian and the light of the world that God called us to be. He told us we were the light, and even in that, we have to understand that Jesus is our Redeemer. We need to be crying out, Hosanna! God save us! Deliver us! Save us and keep us. This is what we need to be saying today. We are one decision away from falling away from God. We are so close that the devil is putting banana peels all around us, waiting for us to slip. Woo! He's waiting for you. He's trying to set you up. You think that people are smiling in your face and patting you on the back. And then they turn around and say something about you, and you don't even know what they're talking about. You go to work and you on your job, and the people say, I'm here, and we all working together. But then you turn around, and you'll realize that you're the only one working. But you don't even get the credit for it. I'm just saying that even in the church, we come in here, but I thank God we got brothers and sisters in here who don't have a high-mindedness that they can't roll up their sleeves at any time. I got to give that to y'all. But at the same time, the good that we do sometimes is evil spoken of, Brother David. You mean well? And they said, well, that 10S, she called on me. But the next minute, I don't know if she really wanted me to do that anyway. I don't know if he really want me to pray. I think he's just trying to see what I know. Well, why you got that mindset? You got to quit. Just do what God asks you to do and let it go. You don't have to sit there and wonder and plot if they're trying to quit get you. If God is on your side and you are, if God is for you, he's more than the world against you anyway. Come on, I'm almost through. Y'all give me. So I'm going to end it right here. That we need to be crying out, Hosanna. How many of y'all need some help from the Lord? How many need Jesus to come on back in here and save us? See, this is not where we're supposed to be. We're just here temporarily. We are going to another place, y'all. And I tell everybody, you can go to heaven, but it's according to how you live down here if you're going to get the chance to stay. Because everybody got to go before the judgment. My God. But on this note, Hosanna. My God. Hosanna. Save me. Because Jesus is our Redeemer. He is our perfect example of how we are to live and care for one another. Hold your hands up in victory on today. Wave your palms on today and say, God, I have the victory because of Jesus. Jesus opened up the way. Woo! Just for us. He made a way for the Jews and the Gentiles. We should never forget what he has done for the world. You not know he died for the world? The Bible said that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I like that part where it said whoever. Because it doesn't matter whether you're black, white, Asian, Jew, Gentile. It doesn't matter. God can still do what he needs to do. And he saved, he died, and shed his blood just for you. Oh, and as we get ready to worship the Lord and thank Jesus for coming in, we say, he is who? Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus still saves. Jesus still delivers. Jesus still heals. Jesus still intercedes. Jesus still forgives. Jesus still reigns. Jesus still lives. Jesus is still King. Glory to God. Let us always remember to celebrate the living King Jesus. We need him to come right now. We need him to save right now. We need him to deliver right now. We need him to forgive right now. We need him to wash right now. Not tomorrow. If I ask you to pray for me, I don't send me away talking about, I'll pray for you, God bless you, God bless you. No, pray for me right now. I didn't come right now for you to tell me later. Oh, my God. Yo, the Owens, I love you, man. Let us always celebrate the living King. How many know Jesus is still reigning on the throne? He is still King. This is Palm Sunday, and we still owe him a praise of thanksgiving for all that he has done. He didn't have to come, but he did. He is the Messiah.